as you're hearing this episode, fall moose season across Game Management Unit 17C will be about at its midpoint, with folks over in 17A still having a bit more time than that to get some meat in the freezer. And that's the big goal for most people, a lot of meat to put in the freezer for the upcoming winter. I certainly count myself in that group, with thoughts of a whole heap of fresh steaks, roast, and burger, driving what will eventually be the main goal for my moose season. That said, there is the taxidermist part of me that also enjoys the antlers, a tangible reminder of a successful hunt that many people, well, certainly not all, do hang on to, as evidenced by the number of moose and caribou antlers that can be seen adorning the homes, garages, steams, and yards of so many people around the area. While meat is absolutely the driving factor for why I hunt, I do keep the antlers from the animals I shoot. And make no mistake about it, it's the antlers I keep. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. So what's with the emphasis on antlers? Because antlers are what moose and other members of the deer family, such as caribou, have attached to those heavy skulls of theirs. I bring this up because it's very common to hear people talk about a moose's horns, when in fact the correct term is antlers. And it's not just a problem with moose and moose hunters, but with pretty much any species of the deer family and the hunters that pursue them. Just catch a few deer hunting shows on TV sometime to see what I mean. I'd be willing to bet the number of times hunters or hosts featured on such shows refer to a deer's horns outnumber a correct reference to antlers by as much as 5-1. The incorrect use of the word horns for antlers has long been a pet peeve of mine, and it's something I've talked about a bit before. It's something that came up recently again during some photos I posted on the Refuge Facebook page. Though both can be found atop the heads of big game animals found in Alaska, horns and antlers are two very different things. Since horns seem to be, far and away, the term favored by hunters, let's start with them. Antlers are all too often called horns, but the reverse is almost never true. In fact, I've never heard someone call horns antlers. Horns are permanent. They are not shed. They continue to grow over the entire course of the animal's life. They have a bony core with a keratin sheath that grows over that bony core. Keratin, by the way, is the same stuff your fingernails are made of. Horns are not forked. Males of the species have horns. Females may or may not have horns, though if the females have horns, they are always smaller than those of the males. If horns are broken off, they do not grow back out. This can often be seen on older males. The term you'll hear associated with it is broomed. Alaskan species that have horns include Dall sheep, mountain goats, musk oxen, and bison. Antlers, on the other hand, are composed entirely of bone and are forked, often in very creative or captivating ways. Antlers are shed and regrown annually, something I find utterly stunning, given the size of antlers found on moose and caribou. Among North American species that grow antlers, only males of the species grow antlers, with the lone exception being caribou. And, as it is with horn species and males versus females, the antlers of female caribou are smaller than the antlers of male caribou. Alaskan species that grow antlers include moose, caribou, Sitka black-tailed deer, and Rocky Mountain elk. I should probably mention one other species, the one that's the exception to the rule, the pronghorn antelope, which is found across much of the western half of the lower 48. The pronghorn has a keratin sheath over a bony core, such as you would find on any other horn species. But as the name implies, the horn is forked or pronged. The sheath of the horn is made up of hair-like strands that are fused together, similar to the horns of a rhinoceros. This outer shell is shed and regrown each year, just as with antlered species. They are the only horn species in the world to shed yearly. Fact is, pronghorns have a lot of oddball things going for them, including the fact that they're really not related to antelope at all, despite their name. While horns grow continuously over the course of the life of the animal, antlers are grown and shed each year. Antlers grow from skin-covered knobs on the skull called pedicles. These pedicles are permanent, and they're the point from which the new antlers grow and old antlers fall or break off. Antlers are the fastest-growing tissue found in any mammal, which makes sense when you consider how much antler an adult moose or caribou has to grow back each and every year. The antlers on a really large bull moose can top 80 or 90 pounds, and all this has to grow back over the course of a single summer. This can amount to as much as a pound or more of antler growth per day. Antler growth is a combination of genetics, nutrition, and hormones controlled in part by the length of daylight. In addition to the growth of the antlers, hormones also add muscle mass to the neck to accommodate the additional weight of the new antlers. During the growth stages of the antlers, they're covered in a fuzzy, tender skin called velvet. This velvet is a tremendous mass of nerves and blood vessels, all of which nourish the antlers for the months during which that phenomenal growth is actually happening. During those months, antlers are delicate and susceptible to damage or breakage. By late summer or early fall, actual growth has ceased. Blood ceases to flow and the velvet dries up. It's eventually scraped off or falls off, revealing the developed bone underneath. For those that do like to keep the antlers from the animals they harvest, the differences between horn and antler means that there is also a difference in how each should be treated if they are to be kept and preserved. Antlers and horns are often displayed in some way. For a lot of people, this may be as simple as attaching them to the side of an outbuilding. If they are intended for inside display, however, they are often cleaned up and attached to a panel or plaque. If either is to be used in this way, a measure of preparation is needed to create a good mount. With antlers out of velvet, all that needs to be dealt with is to have the skull plate cleaned as well as possible. All meat, connective tissue, and fat needs to be removed, and the skull plate given time to dry. With antlers in velvet, the velvet needs to be either treated to preserve it, or it needs to be removed. Far and away, the easiest thing to do is to just remove it. Just be careful with the tips, as they can be delicate, depending on how far along they were in the growth process at the time of the animal's demise. There are a few chemicals available that can be used to preserve the velvet on the antler, though the ones I'm aware of need to be applied fairly soon after the animal is harvested. Also, the size of antlers found on moose and caribou can make velvet preservation costly, whereas large quantities of chemical are needed. For horns, and I mean actual horns, not mislabeled antlers, the outer sheath needs to be removed. Both the inside of the sheath and the bony core need to be thoroughly cleaned and dried. After this has been done, the sheath needs to be reattached to the bony core with something that will permanently bond them together, such as an epoxy resin. Properly attending to cleaning a set of antlers or horns will go a long way towards providing a quality mount that will last for a great many years beyond the actual hunt. I gotta confess, I fully expect this episode to mostly fall on deaf ears, in terms of actually getting anybody to change their language as it applies to antlers. My guess is that most hunters will continue to talk about what a great set of horns their caribou or moose had. Pointing to trees that have been shredded by a bull moose will still lead to comments like, "Wow, he had to have had a big set of horns on him to do that." And a lot of hunters over the coming weeks will be straining their eyes through binoculars, trying to find horns on the moose they're looking at, so they can legally pull the trigger and fill their freezer. Just keep in mind that if you really do see a moose with a good set of horns on him, make sure to get good photos, because you're seeing something that's very rare indeed. And I mean Bigfoot or Loch Ness Monster rare. Most of the moose out there actually have antlers. Here's hoping everyone who hunts this season finds a legal moose that they can shoot and call their own. I know mine will have antlers. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake, provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.